the way it was done was absolutely perfect. You know, 100%. He sent out on the email that said, oh, just like you said, like, we're doing the stream at this time. We're doing the battle at this time. But the doors will be open at this time. And anybody who wants to come and shoot content in the building prior can come and do that. And I think it was honestly a good idea leaving it up to the cosplayers. Because 100%. Just like you said, if they were like, all the water's at this time, all the lightning's at this time, all the fire's at this time, you got people coming from other jobs, coming from other gigs. You're always going to be missing somebody or something somewhere. You know, there was even a couple cosplayers that didn't show up that were supposed to. That's why the Licky Tongue was the way that it was. It was just a guy with a pink wig and a big tongue drawn on his white shirt.
That explains everything.
Yeah, the person who was supposed to be Licky Tongue backed out at the last minute.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to a new episode of Delulu Canoe, but it's actually Dude Canoe. Or Dude Lulu Canoe?
Dude Lulu!
Dude Lulu! Yeah.
I'm Cosmo, I'll be the host today, and joining me in Dare's seat is the one, the only, Adam!
What up?
How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you?
This is a trip.
This is gonna be fun. Like, the all-dude treehouse, no girls allowed version of Delulu Canoe. This is a powerboat now.
Yeah.
No more canoes. I'm not going to row. Are you going to row?
Put an engine on
it? I'm not rowing.
No, definitely put an engine on it like Tim the Toolman and Taylor. Okay. Yeah. I'm just like,
yeah, I'm not rowing.
So joining us today, since there's the three of us, is our friend that we know, but you guys don't know because I don't think you guys ever seen this person. All right. Yeah, you guys know who Ash is, right? You guys know who Ash is. Adam, you know who Ash is, right?
I know
right?
who Ash
yes.
is. Yeah, I'm aware.
But, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the mysterious man of mystery, William!
Hello, guys.
The sexiest Swedish vampire you'll ever meet.
Exactly!
There's not a lot of us. It's not a hard competition. It's pretty easy.
there's like five Swedish vampires. Because
like the whole vampire aesthetic is like, you know, shaved, pretty sleek, and then all Swedish people have beards, all of them, all the time. So
you're the only one I know, so yeah. I have nothing else to prepare
really?
About.
You don't know, I bet you know more Swedish people.
Probably,
you don't
but
know
they're not like, I'm Swedish about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're just metal about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, true, metal, true. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I grew up in a country where like the beauty standard at the time was like, especially in the scene that I grew up in, was like, alt guys with long hair and thick beard, and I can't grow a beard to save my life.
Same.
So, yep. Liar, first of all.
You know how this is like 5 years of work.
Seriously, mine is as long as it gets.
Oh, really?
And then the sides, that's the
mine.
Like the
mine just grows in patchy. Yeah, right, like mine just grows in like in different spots, and then I can, and then I have like bald spots in it all over the place. So that's what I grew up with. Everyone's like, grow a beard, and I'm like,
a little no secret. I colored mine, little bald spots here and there.
Oh, really?
You gotta do it for just the
yeah. I mean, do it. Whatever you gotta do to feel better about it, right?
I shave everything that grows in or that grows in patchy, and this is like the least patchy stuff. Wow. But it's like I buy a 5-pack of razor blade replacements, and at the end of the year, I throw 3 of them out because they've been rusted. I can go a whole year with 2 blades.
That's how Band-Aids should be. You know, you should only buy a pack of Band-Aids and use one Band-Aid. Okay?
At the rate that I injure myself, that would never work.
I was just gonna say to, I was like, I'm too clumsy for that.
Yeah,
I'm too much of a klutz. Yeah. I wish that I could shave that little because I do a lot of like makeup and body paint stuff.
Right.
I need to be like clean shaven a lot.
Like seal clean, yeah.
Yeah, so I shave all the time and. Of course, around the age that I decided that, like, no, I look real good without a beard. I don't need to do that. That was just, like, the culture I grew up around. The second I decided that I don't need to do it, my body was like, oh, we're gonna start now. We're going to kick in, like, beard growth for you now. And I was like, God damn it.
I'm still waiting on that day. I didn't get to go through that whole, like, my dad teaching me how to shave thing because I didn't get to a point where I actually needed to shave till I was, like, 21 or 22.
Oh, wow.
My dad gave me an electric razor at, like, the you know, the, like, 3 round heads thing, like, the traditional-looking one?
Yeah.
He gave me one of those when I was 16, and I look back at that, and I was like, for what beard? For what facial hair growth, Dad? There was nothing there.
It's the training, because what you gotta do is, like, just keep on constantly shaving one in the other area, and it eventually gets thicker and thicker and thicker, you know?
That's what they say.
Sure. They say that.
I don't know. Yeah, my experience disagrees with it. Yeah. All right, so this is an episode on facial hair.
But, okay, so more about William, though. I mean, just for a couple of minutes. What do you do, William? What's your thing?
You mentioned Ash earlier, and so one of the main things that I do nowadays is I do a lot of handling for her in cosplay situations. So whether that's handling at a con or at different events that she's been to, I also have started doing a lot of like vlog videography for her. So trying to just like follow her around and let her do what she does best, like being in cosplay and being like looking good in it and focusing on that and interacting with people. And everything else is my problem. Everything else, doesn't matter what it is. Anything you can come up with that isn't look good as this character is my problem.
Right. Food.
Drinks, food, water. How long you stay in one place. Who needs to talk to you?
Yeah.
Where do you need to be contractually in half an hour? How do we get there?
Because that is one of the most common questions that I hear from people who aren't in the cosplay space I see like on cosplay Reddits and stuff where a lot of people will talk about like the advantage of having a handler and all that stuff. A lot of people are like, I see handlers all the time, but I don't know what it is they're actually doing or why they're there.
See, yeah. I had a handler, we call them Wranglers. In the Mandalorian Mercs. Only because we're in full armor and some of us cannot pick up if we drop anything. We don't know who's talking to us. We have that whole helmet on. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's somebody carrying our water bottles or our towels, because when we take off our helmets, we're sweaty as heck, you know? So, like, that's where I knew. I'm like, that's where it comes in handy. It was just a person in full armor just helping you out behind you.
Yeah, and I think it also has to do with kind of, you can talk about two different kinds of cosplay handlers. You have the ones that are there for someone like in Mandalorian armor, or even in the ones that have like massive wings and things, where like most of your job is making sure that like no one walks into the cosplay clear or nothing breaks and like making sure that they have a clear path to walk, right? Yeah. But then you have the cosplayer, which is more like, I guess what you and I both do for Ash and Dare respectively sometimes, is the idea of handling for someone who is a well-known cosplayer is also a different beast under and of its own,
because
that can become crowd control at points, and it can with like massive cosplays too, right? If it's a really good one, it's going to draw a crowd no matter how well-known you are, because it's like a big impressive cosplay. But that's its whole thing.
Well, and I think that was kind of how I got into being a handler for Dare. She initially brought me on for arguably the hardest handling job for her when she does cons. It was the full Samus Dreadsuit.
It
was like, that was the first one where she brought me along, where she was like, I don't have a handler anymore, and I need, like, this is an armor that I cannot get into by myself, and visibility is reduced, and you know, anytime she has to go to the bathroom, it's like parts have to come off, and she can't do that by herself. So I think I actually got kind of thrown into it at like survival mode. You know, my very first one was like full suit of armor, like it's gonna be crazy people, because like most of the time she didn't have the helmet on, so now she's getting recognized as being the model, the cosplayer, the singer, the, you know, producer, everything, on top of being in a Samus armor. So once I got that one out of the way, it was like every con after that was a lot easier.
I think I'm trying to remember what the first one, the first one I handled for Ash was at Midsummer Scream a couple of years ago, but for that she had a booth, so it's different because like she had her own booth to like be by, so like it's not as much like walking around and making sure you know to get to places. That was more like helping selling prints and like interacting with people at the booth,
which is a whole separate section of handling. Like all of a sudden you got to be a salesman too.
But I think the first one that I did that was full on handling at a floor was for, I think it was LACC that same year, and she did Vampirella. And that was also like being thrown into LACC at like her home city and home con in Vampirella, and I was like, oh Jesus.
That costume is
a rubber band.
It is. Yeah. It's the number one questions I've gotten from friends from Sweden that like aren't in the cosplay scene at all, or like don't know the like American side of cosplay scene, because it's very, very different.
Ooh, I'd like to hear the differences.
We can get into that for sure. But their main question, seeing her Vampirella cosplay or any person's Vampirella cosplay, they're like, how does gravity allow for this like cut of fabric and this particular like outfit to stick together? Because it seems like it shouldn't.
Right.
And then part of it, Ash always says, is like, fashion tape is great.
Yep, toupee tape.
Toupee tape is incredible. Yep. And then the second one is just like knowing how to sew and knowing how to like make a pattern that does what you want it to do, even when it seems like it shouldn't be able to do that.
And I think that's a huge, maybe I was going to say it's a huge advantage for like Ash, Chrissy, and Dare, in the fact that they're all builders. They all construct their own stuff. So like having a knowledge of how your outfit moves is invaluable for when you're doing cosplay.
I am a big fan of building armor to your comfort, not to the liking. I got to be able to sit down. I got to be able to like at least eat, pick up something, you know, or just like in an emergency, put it on myself.
Yeah.
Which sometimes, 9 times out of 10, it's a longer process, but because it's a tough, I don't know. Cosplaying is tough.
It is fucking tough.
That's
man.
One of the things that I like to do with all of my own cosplays is like, number one, I definitely prefer to cosplay as original characters within universes and IPs that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I find, which is so weird because like LARPing is not something I'm typically really
into.
That's
the background that I come from.
Yeah.
I'm from a LARPing background.
So like, I don't really like do much with the LARPing, but I do like the idea of being your own person and your own character within that universe. Mm-hmm. So one of the advantages of that is that like these pants are a great example. Mm-hmm. I use these pants in like 2 or 3 of my different cosplays. Like my original Star Wars character I use for this. My original pirate character I use for this. When we do the mashup of Pokemon and pirates, I use this. But I also wear these pants in everyday life. You know, and like for budget cosplaying, you know, like that's the best way I find to do it. Because 100%. Like I don't feel bad about spending, you know, $500, $600, $800, $1,000 constructing a cosplay. Mm-hmm. If I know that like $300 or $400 of that is also regular clothes I can wear in regular life, you know?
It's also the benefit of having like a more unique or like adventurous like style in your everyday wardrobe, right?
Yeah.
You can take a lot of that and just be like, this is for me too.
That's like me with Red Hood. Red Hood is like the closest cosplay to just normal clothing. It's a leather jacket, cool ass outfit, pants, boots, and like leg straps for guns. And then he has a domino mask on and a helmet.
Perfect.
And the gray streak in his hair. Sometimes I use a wig. Sometimes the most 9 times out of 10 I use a wig because I like the long hair. Sad F boy kind of look.
Sad F boy.
He's not a very successful F boy if he's sad. I mean, or he's a very self aware one.
You know, he's not self aware though. You know, he is. But it's like, oh, it's like the girls. I swear there's a moment in TikTok where they're all over the Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And now it's the Dick Graysons. All Nightwings now. But, those clothing, that outfit, I wear it normally to day-to-day business. Yeah. My wrist guards, like the jacket. I use that for Star Wars stuff because it's a nice cut for Star Wars.
Yeah.
The pistols, the grip, everything. The boots that I wear, it's all regular clothing.
I did like a, during like peak COVID, I had just gotten like a bunch of new, very like cyberpunk coded outfits from, or pieces of clothing from Fabric of the Universe. And TikTok had just started taking off in the terms of like doing like various lip syncing sounds to like modern media mixed in with like a cool song behind it. It just started taking off. And one of my favorite outfits ever did for anything was for that. And it was just like this long, like cyberpunk looking trench coat. And then I had just gotten my first like proper lightsaber.
Okay.
And I did like hide it behind your back kind of like transition read to Anakin's like I killed them all, the women, the children, read. And it looks so good. Like I never thought of mixing the like cyberpunk aesthetic in with Star Wars, but that's something that I've since to like Star Wars themed events. I've worn that and it always gets attention for like it feels Star Wars because cyberpunk inspired fashion is so, it's in the same way Star Wars. It's different, but similar.
Yeah.
And it just translates so well. I just wish that I could find, maybe I just have to make it like cyberpunk inspired fashion, but that has Orabesh on it instead of Japanese or kanji. Cause a lot of it is like kanji or katakana writing because it's very Japan centered, right? But it'd be cool to find some of that just is that like cyberpunk aesthetic but with Orabesh on it instead.
The funny thing too, because now watching all these shows on Disney Plus that are coming out, or Star Wars, and they're different timelines, it's like either before the original or after the original, and then from Mandalorian onto the new ones, even Ahsoka, it's all after Return of the Jedi.
It's so after the Jedi, but before the
around the prequels, it's like robes, fashion, everything's drapey. It's
right at the end of the High Republic.
And you look at Endor, that's still in between 3 and 4, and it's still elegant and awesome. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the Empire just takes over, and it's even darker, grittier. And then you look at the style from, like, I want to say from I want to say from Empire Strikes Back all the way till till now, it's just like a little bit more modern, but cyberpunky-ish, steampunk-like.
Yeah.
You know? It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And then, I mean, you look at the new one with Jude Law, and it's all very pirate-coded because the whole storyline was pirate. And
I mean, that's such a
good And that's what I did with my original character for Star Wars that I cosplay as. It's basically a pirate outfit with a custom-made shrug and a robe. And then I just put on, or not even a robe, it's like a long jacket that I just kind of fold into a robe. And then I use the Jedi belts and all that stuff. And it's very piratey coded, but it works so well within that Star Wars universe. Just like the cyberpunk stuff, it fits. Yeah. You know?
It's about finding those, like, and I know Ash has talked about this before too, maybe, I don't think it was on this podcast, but the concept of if you're doing either your own original character in a universe or like a mashup of characters, to identify those, like, the elements that make the character. And then as long as you have those elements, you can change everything else around it. Right. And for Jedi, one of the things is like the wide belt.
The wide belt.
Like if you put a wide belt on almost any kind of outfit, you can, and then a lightsaber on the hilt there, you can make it look like a Jedi just because that's such a like, and then maybe a fold over top of some kind.
Wide
like,
belt, tall boots, and a fold over robe.
Yeah, and then
you gotta have knee high boots.
You gotta have knee high boots.
Yeah, he's ready to go. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Man. But so speaking of wrangling and being a handler, okay, I did my first, I want to say, handling for Chrissy at this Pokemon thing.
I forget that's your first one because you're always there.
First one?
But that was his first handling experience.
That was my first handling experience.
Really? Yeah. That's fucking wild.
I've known Chrissy for like years and done like, I've been like staying in the hotels with her where she's doing groups with other people and getting everyone ready, but I'm always doing my own thing. I'm like, okay, gone, goodbye.
He's got like 12 booths he's got to work
in. Yeah. Seriously. Like other clubs and stuff like that. But this time for that BB No Money thing, that Pokemon shoot that we were all there for, I was disappointed.
You were disappointed.
Really?
Were you disappointed by the event or by your requirements as a handler or like what were you disappointed?
Well, like all the above. I guess I'm gonna say like
really.
Like understand what I had to do. I was there for Chrissy, and I'm like, you know, she needed water. Boom, I got it. She needed something out of her bag. Boom, I got it. She needed some like food, and whatnot. But it's like, I was like, it didn't leave much room. That place did not leave much room for handlers. It was just basically all cosplayers.
It was crammed, sure. But I gotta say that, like, as someone who's handled like both at cons and like at like big group shoots and things like that, the only thing that I can think of that would have been better is that the space could have been a little bigger. Like there was. What, almost 300 people there probably in total?
At least. I mean, 151 cosplayers.
I mean, it was even more because then they had all the trainers.
All the trainers. So, like, but not every cosplayer had a handler. But I remember one of the employees saying that, like, the number of people they had in the building at one time was like 294.
Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So almost 300 people.
And there's still spaces.
It was a big warehouse.
It was a big warehouse. It was a big space. There's still spots that were like off limits for the rest of us.
So,
see, and we found a secret
room. I was
room
just going to say the dressing
that, like,
room
nobody
that
else was in. Like, nobody went in this room because the door was closed. And like I remember like running into like one of BB Nobody's guys, and I was just like, can we use this room? And he's like, yeah, we rented the whole building. I was like, okay. So then it was like, we found that spot, told you about that. So then it was like us, you and Ash, and then like Jessica Negri and her handler were like the only people that were in this room.
It seemed chaotic. They could have had more, I mean, here's better timetables. Like, hey, we're going to do content over here, or have a list of like more communication. Like, we're going to do this kind of content for this for that platform, and we're going to do a photo shoot for all these groups over here. It was just basically like a word of mouth. And like, you know, Chrissy was like, I didn't know there was a meetup for Team Rocket. Because I forgot who she was dressed up as. Her
Persian?
Character. Persian, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she missed out on that opportunity. It was like Negri and all those other people.
I think that they probably realized pretty early on, and maybe this was planned by them, which I think it would be, and I would probably have done the same, is that they had a timetable for the stream start, and they had a timetable for like the Pokemon battle thing that they did.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
And that was really funny.
That was the best part.
And I think that they realized pretty quickly on, and again, I would have done the same thing, in that having any more of a timetable with like specific meetups for specific groups that's like pre-planned for that amount of cosplayers is not going to be held. Like if there would have been like at like 3:30 p.m. we're going to do Team Rocket over here, and then at 3:45 p.m. at that same spot we're going to do water type Pokemons, and then at 3:55 we're going to do fire. Like I think they realized that they could have said that, but it wouldn't have been stuck to because people would either have not been like on site on time or they would have been shooting something different. Because that, I think that's doable on a group of 10 or less. Okay. I think anything more than that, splitting a group like that becomes really hard. You can be like, hey, every 151 of you be here when the stream starts at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. or whatever it was. But I think then trying to split that group into smaller splinter groups to do things before then, I think would have been almost impossible to actually make happen, no matter how much you planned it ahead of time. And I think it was the right choice to not kind of dream of that, right? And have the dream of like, oh, what if we just schedule all of these things and then it works out perfectly? Because then people are going to be disappointed when it doesn't. Rather than like, hey, we're just going to, if you have an idea, do it. And that's kind of what it felt like. What I will say, though, is I was really impressed with how down to earth and chill Baby No Money was with being used for content by absolutely
everybody.
He was constantly just I don't think I saw him say like I don't have time or no to anything. Even if it was like on his way somewhere, he's like, yeah, I'll stop, do a thing, and then keep going. And he was so chill about it the whole time.
That's how, I mean, that's how you gotta be sometimes. Just for the sake of content.
Oh yeah, you know? No, 100%. But he did so well for hosting that. And like his attitude around like, oh, you have a like, an example I can think of right away is like Ash had done this like long transition clips throughout the day of like getting into the makeup and getting into her costume and and then it ends with the line, do you think I'm spooky? And she just told him like, hey, I'm just gonna say that to you and you do whatever you want to do with that. I'm just gonna ask you, do you think I'm spooky? And she's ghastly, right? So like she's a ghost type Pokemon. And he just immediately is like, okay, got it. And then camera rolls. It's like she says the line. He immediately just looks terrified and like slowly backsteps away from her. So the fact that he was like that involved with giving everyone like fun and engaged content and not just kind of like being there as like, oh, hey, Baby No Money's in my shot. He like actually like engaged with it and like did things I thought was really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. After doing a number of group shoots now with Dare, and I mean like I said, that first one I did with her when I handled for her the first time was at San Diego when she was in Samus. I didn't dress up at all that entire trip because like, you know, whatever. And then as cons went on, I slowly started cosplaying, and then I eventually started trying to cosplay to match her, match whatever else the group was doing that we were with. After having been to a number of group things now, that I was so freaking impressed by the way that BB No Money did everything. I mean, he rented out a location downtown that was big enough to fit by fire code everybody that was going to be in there. He hired security to make sure that nobody that wasn't supposed to be there was not there. There were people doing check-ins with name drops and name checks. You know, there was badges, there was water, there was food provided, there was space for everybody. So that was amazing right off the bat.
Speaking of food, though, those burgers, though,
that, dude,
those burgers were fire.
The veggie burgers were fire, but like the regular burgers are kind of dry.
Oh, see, I walked outside and grabbed it right off the grill, and it was awesome. Yeah,
I talked to the dude who did it, and my first question to him was like, "Do you have a like brick and mortar location? Because I will go and have these every time I can if you do." And he's like, "No, we're just doing like food trucks and catering right now." And I was like, "I want your card. I want your Instagram. I want everything." Because this is like, normally at like when you do catering for an event of like 300 people, I expect, especially at a thing where like the food isn't the main thing, it's just like, hey, we're going to feed you.
Right.
Yeah.
I expect the food to be mediocre at best.
Pizza or sandwiches.
Yeah. And if it is sandwiches, it's going to be like a fuck-ass sandwich from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But so the fact that I was like having this burger, I was like, this is one of the best smash burgers I've had in my life.
It was so good, yeah.
And I talked to him, and he was like, yeah, if you could ask some of the cosplayers to like come and take pictures with it, that would be really cool, because like I'm a big fan of a lot of the cosplayers here, and like everyone's so hot, and like it would be really cool for my brand if you don't mind. And I told people, and then I saw people like do that and like go out to shoot with him, because I told people like, hey, the burger guy, if anyone wants like content for a burger dude, he'd love to. And some people like, fuck yeah, and they ran out and like did little silly skits with him and stuff like that. But he was so chill, and the food was so good.
But yeah, so like I think that the way it was done was absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, 100%. He sent out on the email that said, just like you said, like, mm-hmm. we're doing the stream at this time. Mm-hmm. We're doing the battle at this time. But the doors will be open at this time. Mm-hmm. And anybody who wants to come and shoot content in the building prior can come and do that. And I think it was honestly a good idea leaving it up to the cosplayers. Because 100%. Just like you said, if they were like, all the water's at this time, all the lightning's at this time, all the fire's at this time. You got people coming from other jobs, coming from other gigs. You're always going to be missing somebody or something somewhere. You know, there was even a couple cosplayers that didn't show up that were supposed to. Mm. That's why the Licky Tongue was the way that it was. It was just a guy with a pink wig and a big tongue drawn on his white shirt.
That explains everything.
Yeah, the person who was supposed to be Licky Tongue backed out at the last minute.
Yeah, and like, even despite, like, disregarding people back that last minute, Nick, who's one of Bibinomani's managers, who put this whole thing together, right? Like, he was the main dude who...
Good job to Nick.
Oh, yeah. Nick did an incredible job.
Kudos to Nick.
He he put in I think he sent out an email before the event of, like, if you have anyone that knows they're going to back out, let me know now. And this was, like, 48 hours before the event. Yeah. It was like, let me know now so we can solve it. Because in the last 48 hours, so less than 4 days before the event, they had 30 Pokemon drop out.
Wow.
Whoa. 30 people that dropped out. And the matter that the fact that they managed to find replacements
that quick
with less than 48 hours to spare, they found for all of them. And it's not like it's just, you know, do a Team Rocket trainer that anyone can do with any. This is like specific Pokemon. Like, you would have to have either the ability to make or have a cosplay for like that specific Pokemon that we're missing. It's not just like any Pokemon. It has to be the specific one we're now missing with less than 48 hours to go.
Right.
So, and what if it's a weird one like Weedle?
Yeah,
you know, like, what do you do?
But you know, these girls, man, these girls, they do this last minute stuff. Oh. And they freaking rock it out of the park. Dude.
Tell me about it.
They kill it.
Wow. Every time.
I mean, that was one of the coolest things, too, I think. Like, the quality of some of the cosplays was just absolutely insane. Yeah. I mean, like, the Needle Queen was one that sticks out in my head so far. I mean, and Jackie's Flareon. Like,
oh, dude.
Jackie's Flareon.
I've seen,
so
seen it a few times, but that is, like, that's one of my... Because everything about it is just... Yeah. Big and
bombastic.
Huge and regal
that
Renaissance
tail.
And yeah,
that
like
tail was crazy.
You know?
It's wild, and like it was so impressive too in an event like this to see, because there was no hey we're gonna do Pokemon all in this style, right? There, it was just like we're gonna do Pokemon.
It wasn't like
do
steampunk Pokemon.
Yeah, and it wasn't like ball gown Pokemon or like armor Pokemon. Like there was no like predetermined. This style of a humanoid Pokemon, it was just do whatever. And so it was so fun to see how everyone kind of interpreted that for the Pokemon that they got to portray.
Yeah.
And it was really impressive to see everyone's like full artistic freedom of like, this is what I think of with this. And this is what I think of with this Pokemon.
Like the largest amount of creative diversity you could find in 100%. A single room.
I was just, I guess because it was my first time doing this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I was a little overwhelmed.
Oh, okay. I was too.
And I like, all my whole focus was just on Chrissy, what she needs. And then she was like, at one point, she was like, I'm fine at this point. You can do whatever. I was like, me, do whatever? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I've seen some of these people. I know who some of these people are, like, from TikTok and Instagram. But I'm like, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, I love all your stuff. I'm like a fanboy over something.
Yeah,
like that. So
I know.
Just like, I appreciate everybody. Everybody was on their on game and whatnot. It was just a little bit. It, to me, it just looked like a person that just got out there out of a farm and say, like, all right, herd these cattle. And you're like,
is what it feels like. I'm not even going to lie. Like, especially like handling for like a group cosplay.
Yeah.
That is absolutely what it feels like of like herding cattle or like I keep saying getting ducks in a row when I'm at cons because it's what it feels like. I'm just like a mama goose and there's all these ducklings that are like, this is interesting and this is cool and this is interesting. And then I'm like, we have to shoot with this photographer in 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I have no
idea.
And I have no idea where duckling 4, 5, and 3 are.
Yeah,
I have clue.
This year at San Diego Comic Con, you guys were all over the place.
Oh,
all over the place.
Yeah. It felt like this year's Comic Con was for the first time since COVID that like brands started reaching out to cosplayers more in a way that they haven't in a long time of like utilizing like, hey, we have these people who are amazing creators and makers and crafters that if we pay them money and give them attention, they will make our character and draw in people to our thing with that character. And it was really impressive to see that there again.
Yeah.
That's but awesome. I think also like another thing with the Baby No Money event that was so impressive to me from another more technical standpoint was the fact that it was a live stream, which I did not find out until like less than a week before the event. I was like, oh, this is a Twitch stream? Because I thought it was just like a video shoot or like, because I'd seen him do like a bunch of like video game oriented like TikTok content and stuff like that. So I thought it was just another one of those, like a content shoot with a bunch of cosplayers. A lot of cosplayers.
Work on your own time within the time frame.
Yeah, maybe it's like for a music video. Maybe that's what he's doing. But that gets into like weird copyright law with Nintendo, whatever. And then I found out it was a stream. And then I was just... I worked in IT for like way too long before moving here. So part of my brain went into like the technical part of that. It's like, how do you do that?
That's a logistical nightmare.
This is now a logistical nightmare of like, not only are we doing like a Twitch live stream that's like a walk around camera, but we also have 151 people we have to somehow work into this, right?
Yeah.
But I think they did super, super well. And I can understand if it's your first like handling.
Because my imagination, what I was hearing from Chrissy and Jackie and everybody else was like, it's going to be a situation where there's going to be chairs. There's going to be a stage with a platform. I thought it was going to be a fashion show of, like, these Pokemon.
That's what I was expecting, too. The actual presentation was a little different than what I had in
mind. Then when I walked in there, I'm like, I'm looking at everything. I'm like, this is not his place. This is something else.
I think the one thing that they could have done better would have been to put a stage up. Mm-hmm. I think that would have sold it a lot.
Yeah.
And then... Other than that, I really think, again, that, like, I can understand how if it's your first time, it is very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it seems very chaotic.
Yeah.
But I will say, again, that I've had much more chaotic and unorganized.
like, you had an easy one. Yeah. If I'm being honest, dude, you had an easy one.
I remember this one group cosplay that was done, I think it was last year or maybe very early this year, where there was, I think, 12 or 16 cosplayers in that group. And I was supposed to only handle for Ash.
Yeah.
And then I think I ended up being the only handler in that entire group.
Because I was also in the shoot.
Oh, yeah. Because
so
you were in cosplay for that shoot. So it was, and it, like, luckily for me, like, I think half of them I knew at that. Like, I knew you, I knew Dare, I knew Chrissy, I knew Jacqueline, I knew Ash.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of them, I kind of at that point didn't know yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, there's 16 of you, or 12 or 16.
Holding a lot of purses right now.
Dude, I so badly want to do a TikTok of the, you know, the trend of, what is it? I'm Ash, and I made this cosplay and doing this, and then I'm William, and then it cuts off, and then every time it does, I'm holding one more thing, so it's just even
by the end
more.
Of you're just buried under a pile of
and just like it, because it, what it feels like sometimes, right? Especially in a group, but for that group, that was again only like 12 to 16 cosplayers, right? And that felt so much harder.
Wow.
To keep everyone on track and like in line and being at a place when you need to be, and like, what do we do next, and where do we go, and like, there was like a loose plan for what to do, but it very quickly became like delayed and like adjusting to that, and then making sure that everyone follows you and making sure, because you know the issue again with like walking around with a big group of cosplayers at a con is if you have one cosplayer that you handle for, they might be recognized by a person or multiple people walking down to the next stop at the convention, but if you have a group of cosplayers, Ash might be recognized here, and then Dare is recognized there, and then Chrissy's recognized there. So then the multitude stops, and then making sure that you don't just keep walking, and then you turn around and realize, oh my God, we lost Dare 15 minutes ago.
It's an hour to get anywhere at a con.
Exactly.
Like, you could be like, what could be a 2-minute walk might be an hour because of
a 2-minute walk for someone not in cosplay, half an hour
that,
if you're
that's,
in.
That's always was my thing with for Chrissy. I was like, I was known in the Star Wars cosplay, universe for a long ass time, and then just out in public, you know, I have like some kind of like, I don't want to say popularity, but kind of people know me.
Yeah, people know you.
People know me. So it's like, even if I was like wrangling, I was like, fuck, I don't want to be rude to somebody, but like, and the group is taking off. I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? Blah blah blah. And now with this YouTube show that I'm doing, I was like, oh, it's even worse. But I mean, it's not worse because, like, I love running into fans.
Right.
But I'm like, I could wrangle in a con for any of the girls.
And it's interesting you say that because, like, two things. One, you mentioning that, like, you're not in cosplay now, but you, people still recognize you from, like, cosplay days. Mm-hmm. I got a comment from someone, I think it was at Midsummer Scream this year, where they were like, oh, I didn't know who Ash was going to cosplay today, but I recognize you because I'm never in cosplay. And yeah. I always wear the same pants because they have a fuck ton of pockets.
Yes.
So I usually wear, like, a very similar outfit every time I handle for her. So people have now started recognizing me if they don't know who Ash is cosplaying. So they're okay. like, where's Ash? There's William.
Okay, interesting.
Now I know how to find her. She's going to be nearby, right?
Have you got that, Adam?
I definitely, to a certain degree, get like, oh my God, that's Dare Taylor. And you're that guy that's on her page a lot. You know, like I get that sometimes. Like, yeah, you're that guy that does the Disastro channel with her. What's your name? And I'm like, Zastro, you know.
Oh my yeah. God, that's hilarious. But
I can definitely tell when like bigger things, TV shows that I've been in mm-hmm. that are syndicated, I can tell when those things are airing.
Oh, why that?
Because it's like I might go 4 or 5 months of living my life normal and not have anybody come up and recognize me anywhere mm-hmm. at all. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it'll be like a 3-week period where I can't take a piss in a gas station without somebody being like, you were that guy on that Law & Order episode. That got, yeah, and I'm like, yeah. That's so it's like awesome. Every time, like that episode of Law & Order gets aired like 2 or 3 times a year. And yeah. every time it does, I will get recognized like every single day for 2 or 3 days.
I want you to know that when I first met you, the very first time I met you, I was like, God damn, he looks so familiar. And for me, like, having been in, like, the L.A. metal scene, the underground L.A. metal scene for yeah. as long as I have, and you have long hair and a beard.
Everybody thinks I'm a musician. Yeah,
my
yeah.
immediate thought is, like, I've probably played a gig with this guy, and I don't remember his band, and I feel awful about that.
His band must suck. Yeah. Whoever it is, I don't remember.
No, I would never say
Shitty
that.
Beatles, yeah.
Shitty Beatles. No, I would never say that. But that was my first thought. And I was like, no, it's not that. It's,
is he a Foo Fighter tribute band?
Oh, my God, yes.
That guy looks like he's been fighting Foo for a decade or two. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You don't come out fighting Foo looking good, yeah.
And then I thought about it, and then I had, like, a vague memory of you mentioning that you did acting. I was like, no, it's not that then. And I absolutely IMDb'd you the first thing I did when I got home. That was the first thing I did. And I was like, that's from what? Yeah. There we go.
You're like, Mindhunter, I knew it.
Mindhunter yeah. and Law & Order. There we go. That's it.
Yeah.
I love watching, like, I watch a lot of shows. That's why I can never mm-hmm. do one of those reaction channels to, like, movies and, like, television mm-hmm. shows. Cause I watch them all periodically. Mm-hmm. And every time I see one of my friends on the show, I was like, oh my God, I pause it. I watch that scene first, and I rewind back, and I pause and take a picture to send to my friends. I'm like,
I do that. I do the same thing too when I see my friends. My friend, speaking earlier of Star Wars, my friend Anthony was in the oh my God, what's the name of that show now? The
Mercs?
Jude Law one.
Oh,
I couldn't remember for the life of me either. That's why I said Jude Law one before.
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah. It's like a really solid show. It's one of my favorite ones they came out with.
My friend played one of the, I don't remember the name of the character, but the guy who's like the head of the criminal gang, one of his bodyguards, is a good dear friend of mine.
Oh, no,
and
no.
And when I watched that the first time, I paused it. I was like, pause, take a picture. Send That's it to awesome. Anthony. I was like, oh, there you are in Star Wars. You're living my dream. I would literally cut off my right arm to, I don't care what I am. If I'm a stormtrooper, if I'm in full like head prosthetics, like if you cannot tell it's me for my word.
Trust me, watching Mandalorian season 3.
Oh, I bet.
Even this first season with the 501st Garrison, and uh-huh. they wanted 100 mm-hmm. and they asked the LA Garrison Costume Club to come and stand in.
Yeah.
And then watching the rest of the, when they, like, you know, they find, like, the hideout in the island mm-hmm. of Mandalorians, mm-hmm. they were asking the Mercs.
Like, oh, no, I
every
bet.
Other places around I bet. The world. And I was like,
and it's a great move on them because they have the costumes, they fit well, they look good, they're camera
part of
ready.
The George Lucas Costume Club where there is it's canon and it's like they're, you have to be approved.
Yeah.
You can't just walk in there with any
time. Yeah, I've, oh, yeah, I've exactly. heard their restrictions are very, yeah.
Super strict. I used to be the president of LA.
Oh, really?
I started the LA chapter out here. Even got the logo tattooed.
Wow.
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
Original logo. And back then, the guy, it was really different. Our group was in uniform, but I suggested the back patch, the motorcycle club, the vests.
Oh,
it looked
cool.
like a uniform because the 501st already had bowling shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I was like, nah, I don't want to do bowling shirts. Let's just do vests. Like, just freak out jean vests, put Mandalorian Mercs in the bottom, and get that back patch put on the back.
Hell
and
yeah.
And like, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, it still stands, and it's like over 100 people. that are actually like approved and are like screen
That's
accurate.
So cool.
It's amazing. But so like, but like those shoots and events I've gone to, where there's a 1,000 Star Wars fans.
Right.
And it was ordered and wrangled like that. It was like, all right, Stormtroopers over here, blah, blah, blah. We have Darth Vader coming in the middle. We need Boba Fett over here. We need blah, blah, blah over here. We need the droid building. It was militant. Yeah, but
which
Star
great.
Wars.
I love organization. Yeah. I love efficiency.
Exactly.
Let's go. Yeah.
That's what I was expecting when I came, when I went to this BB No Money thing. So.
Yeah, and like another thing you mentioned earlier too about handling is the like not wanting to be rude.
Yeah.
And like if you see someone you know or someone recognizes you and then you don't want to be rude as a handler. To me, like when people ask what I do and another function of that other than, again, letting the cosplayer do whatever they're going to do is I can be rude.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can be
we
rude
have
because,
to
be. because I'm handling for someone, but it lets the cosplayer that I work for not either like get in a bad mood or feel someone feels like she's or they are being rude to them. I can kind of take over that mantle of like, hey, I got to take her somewhere else. And then I'm the rude one.
It allows them to maintain the face of their brand.
Right.
Maintain the face of their brand, but not even that. And also, it I think even more importantly is it can be a bummer to feel like you've been rude to someone. And that can affect your mood for the rest of the day. Like, I had to go. I really had to run. But I feel bad for that guy that I had to, like, go walk away from because I had to go shoot with this photographer that's been waiting for me all day or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel bad for that. And then that's, like, a downer for the rest of the day. But if I'm the one who's like, no, you got to go.
Yeah,
and then I'm the one who deals with that interaction. It helps,
I don't mind,
right?
I don't mind that, especially if somebody's out of hand and putting their hands in places they're acting stupid.
Oh yeah, no, for that.
But like, I'm just too worried about my temper because I'm like, you should know better. I will want to beat the crud out of you.
Benefits
you
of
learn your lesson.
Benefits of having sung in a metal band for years is I am very loud.
Oh yeah,
yelling at someone is my forte. Because I'm not tall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big muscular dude. I don't look that terrifying. Mm-hmm. But
I disagree, dude. That I have seen that Cold Stone stare. Because and that's why I say Cosmo. Why I feel like you had an easy one to start with is because you were in a room with cosplayers and handlers, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have to deal with one of the hardest aspects of handling is the people.
Yeah.
Fans,
you know, and it's the people that, like, they want to touch, and they want to touch in inappropriate places, and they want to look and take pictures of inappropriate things.
Yeah.
And
oh, dude, there was a guy at a convention that like, he kept just, like, standing in places with a phone in his hand low down, where I was like, I know exactly what you're doing. You think you're being so slick, but I know what you're doing. And I started just standing in his way, and there's one point where I crouched down so that I was in eye line with his phone, and I just stared at the phone and just sat there and just like, and then he finally looked down and did this thing and looked, and he saw that I'm sitting there
staring
at him, and immediately phone up, walks away.
Like, I swear to God, I have had like times at LA Comic Con when I'm working the booth with Dare, and there's like somebody at the booth that's trying to get handsy or trying to and I'll have to keep being like, hey, step back, hey, take a step back, she's with somebody else, you need to wait your turn, and I'll start getting visibly frustrated and this guy's doing everything he can, and he'll turn around and see you at Ash's thing and see you staring at him because you'll see what I'm going through, and then you'll be like, I got you, bro, and like you're 20 feet away and that dude turns around and just sees you just
the
death
stare.
Though.
You don't blink.
I like the death stare, but I like.
And it's like, I disagree with your. I'm not intimidating. Look,
there
like,
it is.
Like,
there
I
want to
piss my pants right now.
Oh,
I don't even got to pee.
It works with it.
I just do like the cross in your arms, make the arms a little bit bigger, and just like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
You have the benefit too, though, being tall, right? Tall and like a muscular guy, right?
Yeah.
And like, so I feel like the stare and the fact that if I do need to raise my voice, like I can really do that is my only two cards I can play. Because like there's been times when like there's dudes that are like much bigger than me that are being inappropriate. And then I'm always like, if the stare or the voice doesn't work, in trouble.
I worry about myself because I have an Italian temper like my dad.
Oh, okay.
And like, I'm half black, so it's like two of the worst things when somebody's really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really want you to know how annoying you are to me, and I want everybody else around me and around us to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know. I want to point out very, very loudly how stupid you look and degrade you, make you want to jump off a cliff, something like that.
That I can do too.
That's
think
my problem.
See, I do the same thing, but like in a soft.
Ugh.
It's like a soft, charming transparency.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the death stare.
Yeah.
I don't have the size.
Mm-hmm.
I have the reality of what's happening. So it's like, if I see somebody doing something creepy, I'll just walk up to them and I'll be like, did you want to come and take a picture?
No.
Did you want something from her? What did you need from her? It's clearly you're waiting for her right now. What do you need?
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh, well, and I'll be like, cosplay doesn't mean consent.
Yeah.
So if you like a picture, I can get you in line and you'll be right after this gentleman. Mm-hmm. If not, have a great con.
It's,
you know?
I think it's one of Ash's friends that gave the best tip that I've ever heard for how to deal with someone. There's always going to be these fans. And like talking about it this much makes it feel like, oh, being a cosplay is so hard just all the fans are awful. Like, they're not. It's a very vocal minority. Not. It's a very vocal minority.
Yeah,
that
they
are
do
just
it because the fans are great. Yeah.
Exactly. But he said that when someone like really steps over a line and does something where you've like kind of run out of patience, and he's done this for Ash at I think it was San Diego Comic-Con years ago when someone was inappropriate, but he just very, very loudly says, so that everyone around can hear you, stop being a pervert.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
Because those words out loud, ooh, directed at someone, their confidence and their everything they had immediately melts away.
That's the equivalent of being a kid and getting yelled at in a grocery store.
Exactly.
Yeah. And everything stopped right there and just looking down at you.
And he was like, I don't even say it like angrily. I just loudly say, stop being a pervert. Because immediately you notice that you have eyes on you now, and I was doing something that I deep down know is inappropriate and wrong.
Right.
And now everyone is looking at me.
Yeah.
And then they just immediately disappear. And I was like, I will keep that in my back pocket. That's a great one of just.
Yeah. And it's not like I don't have the confidence that I could protect her in a situation.
No,
like,
I've got
Muay Thai training. I've got.
I do not.
Trained with every single weapon you could think of at the age of 8.
I have never thrown a punch in my entire life. I have been
I got in fights all the time as a kid.
I have been beaten up as a kid, and I've been beaten up and hospitalized as a teenager twice. Yeah. But I have never fought back in my entire life.
We're
going to
change
ever.
That next year, okay? All you have to do is ball up the fist, reach way back, and assert yourself.
See, I theoretically know how.
Yeah.
I've just always been in the position of like, I am not going to, because I don't believe that the situation that I am in is in enough.
It's worth it.
It is worth it enough for me to potentially make it worse by fighting back. Like the kids that beat me up when I was a teenager, right? It was always like, I know what they're going to do. I've seen them do this to other kids because I'm also a dude in makeup like whatever. Yeah, and you can call me a fag, whatever you want to do, right? I've seen what they've done to friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I can handle that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much worse it's going to get if I fight back.
Right.
I'll be like, cool.
Now, the older I get, I'm just like, I don't want to go to jail. I got a clean, a clean record. And I might go too far where somebody really will probably, you know.
I do not have a clean record, and I ain't going back.
Yeah. No.
Well, you
a
know,
couple of states.
Speaking of criminal record, Dare, the luscious host, amazingness of Dare.
She's up there somewhere.
Got us some questions for Patreon about certain situations. All right, so the question here is that some of the our regulars on Delilah Canoe and Patreon regulars have asked and wants to see our questions.
So are we gonna cut over and go right to the Patreon episode?
We're gonna cut over.
Should we do one? Should we do one? Oh no, there's only. Yeah, we're gonna save them for Patreon.
Yeah, there's a few.
All right. Oh Jesus.
But yeah, other than that, it is Christmas time. Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Merry Christmas. BB No Money, you were amazing.
Yes.
Thank you for putting together such an awesome event. Like we said, the fact that you wrangled 151 cosplayers who are all amazing together to do that is an absolute incredible testament to your ability as a content creator to take your ideas and manifest them into something real. And also, thank you for having Jessica Negri. That was kind of my one starstruck moment there, was meeting Jessica Negri, because she was arguably my introduction to cosplay.
Wow.
It wasn't a world that I was really super familiar with, and it was probably right around 2011, 2012, because like I was never big on social media. It wasn't something I was really into. And then all of a sudden, I see this beautiful, voluptuous vixen dressed as a Nord from Skyrim.
Oh, you lost your
and
mind.
I was like, I don't know what this is, but I need to find out more. So that was really, really cool to meet Jessica. And yeah, we did share a dressing room with her. She was very, very nice. So Jessica, if you ever see this, it was lovely to meet you. Thank you for introducing me to such an amazing avenue of nerddom that I had no idea about.
Hell yeah. Heck
that's
yeah.
Incredible.
Adam, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Adam Williams Zastro and check out my IMDb, which also has my name.
All right. And Will?
You can find me everywhere online as a Swedish vampire. I am what it says on the tin.
The only one.
Yeah, the only one, right? There's not a lot of us. I really gotta make some more. I do music outside of when I handle for cosplayers. I scream about my feelings and I hope that people pay me to do so. Yeah.
Payment is good.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere on that.
Cool. You can find me here in the Delulu Canoe and also at the Cosmo Network. And bada bing, we're going to take this over to Patreon. So this is going to be really fun. I think these questions are going to be absolutely crazy and fun and cool. So other than that, thank you guys for watching.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have a note here that says we are supposed to read this first one out loud as a teaser. But then we're not going to answer it until we get to the Patreon.
Okay. All right, go for it.
I have a note here.
You do it. Go for it.
All right, so the one that we're going to leave you with before to entice you to come to Patreon is going to be... we're going to ask these questions and then we're going to each answer how we would handle it, the situation. So the first question is, you're at a convention with your friend who is a cosplayer and you are attending them. You happen to see their ex walking up to catch up with the cosplayer. Jeez. What do you do? Find out on Patreon.
Love, peace, and chingris, guys. See you then.